Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Alex was 16 when he came out as gay. His greatest fear was his parents' reaction. He was an only child and had always had a close relationship with his mom and dad. He and his father had worked on projects together, talked about social issues, and shared a great love for mom. Alex didn't want them to be disappointed in him. His dreaded reaction was rejection. He was astonished when mom's first reaction was asking, "What did I do wrong?" She began to cry. Too often she had heard the myth that it was the parents' fault if a child was gay. Dad wondered the same thing inwardly and later confided this to Alex. He reassured them that they had been the most loving parents and his gayness had always been a part of him. Now he could recognize and share it. Together, this family spent many hours extinguishing the myth of parental responsibility for homosexuality. This story is an excerpt from an important new book, Coming Out, Coming In, Nurturing the Well-Being and Inclusion of Gay Youth in Mainstream Society by Linda Goldman. From a parent's perspective, what can we do to support gay and lesbian youth? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest has experience in the field, and her book offers much helpful material for us all to work with. Linda Goldman is a certified grief therapist who has worked as a teacher and counselor in the Baltimore County, Maryland school system for nearly 20 years. She currently maintains a private therapy practice focusing on issues of bereavement and parenting gay youth in Chevy Chase, Maryland. She also teaches on the adjunct faculty of Johns Hopkins University and the University of Maryland School of Social Work. She's married and has one grown son. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Linda.
Thank you.
What's the biggest myth about gay youngsters?
That's a very big question. And I think a way to preface it is, so often we hear, what's the matter with LGBT youth, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender youth?
Oh my.
And my answer to that question is nothing, because I think the important myth for all of us to understand is that there's nothing wrong with gay youth, but there's something wrong with a society that tends to separate instead of unify, that tends to create a me, them mentality where one group feels morally superior to another. And along with that myth is one that I think the quote I'm about to say really serves, and that is, we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. And in today's world, there's often an assumption of a heterosexual world where people feel without compunction or thinking about it, free to make comments and that everyone within the room that they're in will also be in agreement because they too live in a heterosexual world. And they fail to realize when they ask a young man, do you have a girlfriend? Or a young girl, when are you getting married? Or a mom, does your son or daughter have a girlfriend or boyfriend? That they may be talking to friends, families, or individuals that are LGBT. As Sandy explained in one of the scenarios, kids experience a lot of this assumed heterosexuality. One scenario was young women who were sitting in a restaurant and overheard two couples loudly speaking against Brokeback Mountain, saying they...
That's a very famous movie.
A very famous movie about two gay men that were in love with each other in the 50s as cowboys. And it really does tell of their intimate relationship. And these people were speaking quite loudly in the restaurant. I would never see a movie like Brokeback Mountain. It's just disgusting. This young girl was sitting with her friend who was a lesbian. Her brother was gay. And she was appalled at the ease with which this sexual prejudice was spoken so aloud. And as she went to leave and was walking by the table with her friends, she told me she needed to stop and say so that they could hear, wasn't Brokeback Mountain a great movie? And I only say this to emphasize the awareness of this assumption of a heterosexual world. Sandy also spoke of one of the myths, a very important myth, that parents feel responsible, that they feel that they are the cause of their child being gay. Research substantiates that there's no relationship between a child's heterosexuality or homosexuality, and parenting styles. Another myth of homosexuality is that these kids have a choice. And as one child said to me, how could anyone ever think I had a choice? Who would choose this?
That's so eloquent. I remember reading that in your book. That's such an eloquent phrase.
Another myth is that gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender youth, and we'll call them LGBT youth, are incapable of having loving relationships with the opposite sex. Nothing could be further from the truth. They are extremely capable of forming deep relationships with the opposite sex, with the only caveat that they are attracted to those of their own sex. One teenager, Andrew, said to his best friend, Lizzie, "You know, Lizzie, you know how much I love you. If I wasn't gay, I'd marry you in a minute." She said, "I feel the same way." And then another important myth is that same-sex partners will raise a homosexual child. Again, there is no research to substantiate any of this as fact. And as one partner said to me, my parents raised me to be heterosexual, and look what happened.
Is there prejudice in adoption agencies in that situation where same-sex partners want to adopt a child and the adoption agency is worried that somehow because they're gay or lesbian, they'll raise a child of that type?
It's a good question. And really, Sandy, what I found is there's prejudice in every agency and in every facet of gaining equal rights and understanding the needs of the children of same-sex couples. And I think this is one area. Again, we can go from organization to organization that works with children that have put out statements to the effect that for the well-being of children of same-sex partners, the most important thing is that they know they have two loving parents.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on supporting gay youth.
Popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Linda Goldman, author of Coming Out, Coming In, Nurturing the Well-Being and Inclusion of Gay Youth in Mainstream Society. In your research for your book, Coming Out, Coming In, what did you find was the biggest challenge that gay youth face? Obviously, they face a wealth of challenges, but was there one that stood out for you?
Well, let me preface it like this. As Linda mentioned, I was a teacher and a counselor, and in the school system, I saw a huge amount of sexual harassment, bullying and victimization, and physical and emotional abuse that created an unsafe environment, educationally speaking, for our kids. As a therapist working with children, adolescents, young people, and parents of gay youth, I have come to see that their internalization of homophobia and the sexual stereotyping that's projected onto them from the heterosexual world breeds many things, such as hate crimes, isolation from family, homelessness, and inwardly we find these kids begin to develop less self-esteem, depression, panic attacks, suicide ideation. They're two or three times more at risk for suicide attempts than their heterosexual peers. And so it's a huge mountain to climb. And as a parent of a gay child who I wouldn't trade for any other being on planet Earth, I must say that I have seen up close and personal the challenges that these kids face in coming out and then being out in uncharted territories.
So if parents think that they may have a gay child and the child is young, would it be a good idea then to help the child sort of come out to the parents so that at least that mountain is not there for them?
I think it's important to be supportive of the child coming out as soon as they can, as young as they can, but with the caveat that they need to be able to come out into a safe, supportive environment. I know so many young adults and middle-aged adults who have never come out to their parents out of fear of being rejected, if not emotionally, then physically kicked out of the house. And people will look at me and say, that's impossible. And I'll say to you that 20 to 40% of the homeless kids in America are LGBT youth, that 30% are kicked out of their house, that 20% are verbally abused by their mothers and 14% by their dads. And so we have to be careful when we say to young people to come out, to be sure that they're coming out in a safe environment. So yes, as one young man said to me, parent acceptance is everything, and it can also be life-threatening or life-saving. Hmm. So what can we do? We can begin to educate parents and be supportive to parents so they too can work through their journey of their child being gay and their own coming out process.
Linda, could you give some examples of the kinds of hurdles gay youth face in their everyday lives?
Yes, I would love to. For example, one teenager told me of a scenario with her mom where the mom came home and was so upset because she overheard a conversation about dykes and how could dykes move into our neighborhood. And a dyke is a negative slang word for a lesbian. And the daughter, Catherine, said to her mom, "Mom, this is what I live with every day." 2 million children were reported to say they were taunted by anti-gay slurs in the United States. 90% of the children polled said that they hear the terms, "you're so gay," over and over and over again. 70% say they feel unprotected in the school system. I'd like to also share a scenario of a hurdle that unfortunately is more common than you would imagine, about a young boy coming out in an unsafe environment. So here goes. It is an excerpt from the book. Jimmy was 14 years old. He came out as gay in his high school. He was taunted, bullied, urinated on, punched, and defamed on the internet. His parents pleaded with the school to protect their son, but their cries fell on deaf ears. Jimmy's mom and dad were told by the counselor that because he was openly gay, these incidents should have been expected. Sharing an incident of harassment with his coach, he relayed how a group of boys had tied him to a tree and repeatedly punched him in the stomach until he vomited. Jimmy's coach only responded, "Stop being such a faggot." The level and constancy of this persecution led Jimmy to have a psychological breakdown. I share this scenario because you can see that Jimmy was in an environment where there was no support in the school against sexual harassment, against taunting, and where parents' pleas for help went unanswered. Jimmy was living in an unsafe environment. LGBT youth have a 7 times greater chance of their heterosexual peers of being hurt physically by a weapon. And so, I have to say, this is one huge mountain that they have to overcome. Kevin Jennings, the executive director of GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Educational Network, said something that I just love. He said, "These kids shouldn't be called gay. They should be called gifted because of all of the hurdles that they need to overcome just to be accepted as equal human beings."
Well, there's so much here to deal with. We're going to have to really skip over a lot of stuff. But what do you see as the most daunting obstacle for parents?
I think one of the daunting obstacles for parents are the culture indoctrination, the sexual stereotyping that is so deeply embedded in all of us that it lives in our cells, in our conscious and our unconscious minds, that as a parent, I have been around people who absolutely adore myself and my family, and yet unconsciously they'll say, "Oh, those gays," or make a stereotypic slur about what they perceive all gay people to be. And as one young man said to me, "You know, they're all different, just like the rest of the people in the world." And so I think that's hard to face. I think the other thing is, as liberal as we think we may be as parents, and it's okay for anybody to be gay, when it's your child, you do experience a different set of feelings and attitudes. And one thing that I think parents need to be aware of is that the range of acceptance is wide. Some parents immediately say, "I've always loved you, and I still love you, and that's the end of the story." One great story was about a boy who came out to his sister. And he said, listen, I'm afraid to tell Mom and Dad, so I want you to go home and tell them. If it's okay for me to come home, light the light on the porch and call me when it's okay, when the coast is clear. A little later, the sister called, said, come on home. And as he rode up to his house, he not only saw the light on the porch, but he saw every light from the basement to the bedroom lit. How wonderful. On the opposite end of the spectrum was a girl who couldn't wait to finally have words to use to tell her mom why she always felt different. She was 17 years old. She came home. She said, Mom, I need to tell you, I'm a lesbian. Her mother started screaming and crying and saying, you know what? I'd rather you be mentally retarded.
Oh, no.
She was devastated. Soon after that, her mother became emotionally detached from her child, and they haven't spoken for years. My advice to parents is keep loving. This is the same child who the day before you didn't know was gay, and when they came to you, totally trusting you with one of the biggest secrets they've probably held for years. Mom, Dad, I have something to tell you. I'm gay. It may rock your world, but for them, it's something they've been keeping inside a very long time. I think that parents need to know they have support. So often, they feel very alone. They feel very ashamed. They're unaware that people around them also have gay children. And so we need to help them find support groups like PFLAG National, parents, friends of lesbian and gays. We have support groups in every area of the United States, locally, nationally, to find therapists that work with parents of gay youth, because it is a long journey, and sometimes we need the privacy to be able to express our thoughts and feelings without being judged. And then I think parents need to reframe their relationship so they begin to educate. What does it really mean if your child is gay? What can you do to educate yourselves, to become an advocate, to speak out when there's a prejudicial remark? And I think the goal and the light that we hold at the end of the rainbow is not only acceptance of our children, but embracing them in their life as they are.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on supporting gay youth.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Linda Goldman, author of Coming Out, Coming In, Nurturing the Well-Being and Inclusion of Gay Youth in Mainstream Society.
You keep speaking of the parents' relationship to the gay child in terms of when the gay child comes out as a journey. Can you expand on that a little bit? I think that would be very helpful for parents to understand that.
That's a very good question. It's a journey because many times it is a shock, and rightfully so. Parents have different reactions to hearing their child is gay. Some have denial. No, it can't be true. I know you're not gay. Why don't you think about it a little more? Others may have shock and disbelief. This can't be happening to my family. This can't be happening to me. As Sandy said before, others still feel immense guilt that it's their fault. They did something wrong. Others may feel shame and stigma and be really afraid to talk about it with other people. I think that it's also important to realize that parents go through their own grief and loss. The loss, the grief of the idealized future that they had for their child, and the idealization of the child as their perception of what they thought they were going to do or be. And they need time and space to work this through. Everybody reacts in their own way, and there is nothing wrong about anything that people need to say or think to help them release whatever they need to be released to be more open to their child.
If you could talk with peers of gay youth, what would you tell them?
I think I'd begin with speaking to peers by saying the words of the Dalai Lama. And those words are, the time has come for us to think on a deeper level, on a human level, and appreciate and respect our sameness as human beings. A new recent USA report showed that this particular group of young people between the ages of 18 and 24 are the most diverse, the most open, and the most active of any generation. That when compared to statistics of being accepting of LGBT youth, over 80% were in comparison to their 85-year-old counterparts who were 30% accepting. We are entering a time where our young people have so much influence in this area and in every area. So the trends are showing that young people have the power to step forth and see this issue as a civil rights issue, as the last bastion of civil rights that they so much can play a part in. How can they do this? On a personal level, they can become educated. The same way as we spoke of as parents, they can become activists in their school. They can join their gay counterparts in gay straight alliances that have been developed by GLSEN, the Gay Lesbian Straight Educational Network. GLSEN has done so much work with students and peers helping their homosexual counterparts. Here's some things that have been implemented in the schools. One is to have a safe prom. And at the safe prom, kids actually sign a pledge that this prom will be safe for everyone, including those with a different sexual orientation and gender identity. Another project of GLSEN's is Silence Day. It's a wonderful idea where, again, students make a pledge of silence to speak out against sexual harassment for their gay counterparts. Another project of GLSEN in the school systems is Ally Week. As one young man said, I don't want to know you're an ally. I want you to be an ally. And with this program, young people can be allies by pledging that they will be vehement to stop any sexual harassment that occurs within their school buildings. Another project of GLSEN is No Bullying Week. It's a wonderful project where children can write, draw, teens can write, draw, different ways that they are working on stopping teasing and taunting in their schools. And be a friend.
That may be the most important of all.
Be a friend. When your friend comes out to you as being gay, how can you respond? The same way they would want a loving parent to respond. I love you. That's fine with me. Let's go to the movies. And that's the end of that.
Well, obviously, there's so much more to cover, but unfortunately, our time is up. But before we go, in addition to your book, Coming Out, Coming In, what resources would you suggest to our listeners who want to pursue some of these issues further?
I think I have mentioned PFLAG, Parents, Friends of Lesbian and Gays, and you can certainly find them on the internet. I'd also like to mention GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Educational Network, found, of course, on the internet. Their website is there. COLLAGE, I think this is really important. COLLAGE, Children of Lesbians and Gays Everywhere, because these children need advocates, need information on how we can work with kids with same-sex partners. The Family Pride Coalition that offers a home where families can feel comfortable coming together. And support groups for LGBT children. I know there's one in Maryland, and it's called the Rainbow Alliance. And it's the only one of its kind in Maryland. And it is so popular and so needed so that these kids don't feel alone. Another agency which I'll mention is Marriage Equality Maryland. Because in every state, hopefully there are resources that fight politically and legally to get equal rights for all. I think it's important for kids to know that there's resources for them. One resource that I'll mention is Am I Blue? It's a story of vignettes of different stories of kids coming out. And it is a very popular book. It's Am I Blue? Coming Out from the Silence. Another resource which is helpful on the question of what can we do to help peers is, what if someone I know is gay? What do you do? What do you say? How can you still be a friend? And then for children of same-sex partners, there are now resources for young children that really speak to the issues of there are all different kinds of families, and that's okay. I'll just share two with you, both by Ursula Farrow, Wishing for Kittens and Mother's Day on Martha's Vineyard, about a same-sex parent family.
If you are living in a state other than Maryland and you want a support group for your child, or you need a support group of some kind, is there a way to get on the internet and find one?
I think that if you would go to PFLAG National, they might be able to lead you to what's available within your particular community. I also think that they need to check within their school system to see if their school has developed a gay-straight alliance, because that is a support where the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender students and their straight counterparts can come together within the confines of the school.
And so if someone wanted to go on the internet to find such a group, it would be Gay Straight Alliance?
I think you would go to GLSEN, who are the initiators of that project, and go to their website for help on how to even begin one in your child's school, or how they can begin one in their child's school.
Well, you have certainly helped us all to begin to look at a very important, very significant issue for our children, for ourselves, and for our society. So, Linda Goldman, thank you so much for being with us today.
You're so welcome. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of Coming Out, Coming In, Nurturing the Well-Being and Inclusion of Gay Youth in Mainstream Society. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Mention show number 359 and tell us, if you can, what station you're tuning into.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Drew Chapp. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.